Welcome to Tiny Table 3, everybody. This is Small Stack, and this is our weekly explicit language warning. Just to let you know, we do use offensive language from time to time, and if you have younger listeners in the room, it's probably a good time for to have them exit. If you don't mind a little offensive language, then stick it out, because here we go.
Fuck.
A little loose.
You're supposed to wait a little while. I'm going to have to bleep that out now.
Bleeping bleep. Bleep. Bleep.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tiny Table 3.
Whoa.
Apparently, I'm the only one excited. to be here.
Hi.
This week, we've got Milo in the chair.
What's up?
And we've got Nick returning for a second round.
Second round.
And clouds in New York. Yeah, they're probably the best idea of all three of us. This week, we're going to be taking a look at fashion in the nerd universe. We're going to decide whether or not we would want to live in the costumes of the films that we love and the stories that we've read for our whole life. Then we'll be taking looking at the best of the best this week. And finally, we're going to do a little profile of the band Ghost in Nerd Mixtape.
What up?
What up? Okay, you guys ready to jump right into segment one of our three-segment show?
Sure.
Yes. I thought that was a rhetorical question.
I know. Yeah,
that went from rhetorical to expecting an answer.
You guys know how this works. I have to warn you before I do the shout, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, here we go. Nick!
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Man, you're talking to 8. You're counting too slow, man. I'm pass out, man. Like, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. Someone's out of oxygen, man.
That's how real seconds work.
Okay. I like Claudia. She's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I thought I maybe had a new record coming in on that one, but maybe not.
I was testing the veracity of your naked wrestling.
So our naked wrestling segment this week, our nerd argument, is if you had to choose a costume or fashion taken from the nerd universe, and you had to wear it every day for the rest of your life, what would it be? Which would it be? What world is populated with a clothing that you find acceptable
right
to wear for the rest of your life?
Well, who's going to go first?
I believe you should.
Me?
Hey, I'm absolutely the belief that the fashion design or costume design of a particular world really makes a difference of whether I can manage to watch the movie or not.
That's true.
Or read the comic book.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty shitty things in my day.
No. It's, well, sometimes there is like, I mean, and I hope this, you guys didn't choose this, because if you did, you shouldn't be playing this game at all. Is, and this goes right out to Jeff, is Back to the Future 2. That is,
what are you talking about?
It's brilliant.
Self-drying
those jackets, man.
Self-lacing
the hat.
Oh God, it's so, I mean, it's sometimes it's so bad that it's great. And Back to the Future 2 is fantastic to watch just for that particular reason. The clothing is so bad, even though it kind of guessed at some of the stuff we actually ended up wearing.
It's funny because you say that, and the thing it reminds me of would be like The Fifth Element.
Oh my God, yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
That is not my choice, by the way. We're still waiting for Jose's.
What's Chris Tucker's character?
Ruby Rod.
Ruby Rod. Yeah. Man, that leopard print.
The shoulders.
Okay, I'm changing my vote. I would wear the leopard print of Ruby Rock for the rest of my life. The bodysuit, shoulders open.
Oh my God.
If it's better than yours, Kurt, you're welcome.
That's good, man. I like that one.
I personally would. I'm going with the Hellboy 2 Golden Army.
Okay. Oh, look, man, that's good.
Okay. And just because you can either go with the Hellboy look or you can go with the fantasy look, you got two choices.
Are you talking specifically the elves?
Yeah, Prince Mulata's outfits are pretty cool.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen the Hellboy 2 Golden Army, that one, I mean, you know, Del Toro's got his own unique vision when it comes to costuming, and right, sometimes it isn't something you'd want to wear, but
it's practical to wear.
Well, let me throw this out there, and Milo, that was a good choice, and I think you might actually win on that one alone, but Now, which way did you guys go? Were you going like, okay, I'm going to wear this because it looks freaking cool? Or are you thinking comfort all the way out?
I'm thinking both because, I mean, the outfits in Golden Army are pretty comfortable looking, but they're also, you know, high fashion. I would say there's a lot of robes and free flowing stuff, so your junk doesn't get all bunched together, you know?
Yep.
It's the number one concern for me.
Your junk doesn't get bunched up.
Gotta unbunch the junk.
I need a shirt that says
Hashtag unbunch
the junk.
I'm anti tight clothing, man.
I'm making a shirt, and we're gonna sell that on tinytable3.com, everybody. Unbunch the junk.
Hashtag unbunch the junk. Let's get that trending.
Let's get it going. Now, I'm looking at the elves costume, and you know, I guess it is pretty flowy. Yep. Okay.
So you know, to answer your question, I was kind of thinking, because that second part of the question, it wasn't what you know, Nerd Universe costume or clothing design would you take, but then you had to wear it for the rest of your life. And so actually it was funny because mine kind of progressed a little bit. It kind of changed a little bit as I was thinking about it. Because the first thing that comes to mind is the end of Star Wars, Han and Luke at the awards ceremony, that with the jackets.
You guys are going comfort,
Hold on. With the jackets, with the high boots. Because this is the thing. This is what I loved as a kid.
And
watching
doesn't look like those outfits have a bunch of junk. So.
Yeah, I love the high boots. I love the jackets. And the thing that always, when I was a kid growing up, you didn't want your blaster to be up high on your hips. You wanted that thing low slung down on your thigh because that's how it looked when it was cool and just kind of dangling. And then talking about unbunching junk, right?
Man.
So then it was like that. Yeah, but that's, I mean, there's only so much you can do with that. And then that transitions right into original Battlestar Galactica. Same kind of thing. The high boots. But then what I loved as a kid was those buckles on the jacket, those buckles going down the boots. I love something that had all those buckles.
Yeah, you're talking like the 1977 Battlestar Galactica.
Yes,
right?
I am. And then
good choice.
And so I'm talking to my wife and you know, and she's actually the one that came up with this, and this is the one I'm going with, Firefly. Now, and this is the thing, because I realized
like
my
space
theme,
cowboy.
My
though.
Theme is the whole space cowboy, but the thing that makes Firefly particularly amazing is it's not just a space cowboy, it's the influences from the whole world, the Firefly world. Because I was looking up, okay, the costume designer, it's like influences from American Civil War, China, India, 1930s Depression era, the circus freak shows. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you still got like, you know, you still got Mal, you got the high boots, you got the dusters. He wears that blaster slung low on his hip, man. That's important to me, is if you're going to wear a blaster, you got to sling that thing low. But then you have like Jane with his orange freaking beanie hat with the pom pom, dresses
good.
With boots with buckles, and I'm like, okay. The thing with Firefly is not only do you go get my space cowboy theme that you can see I'm kind of trending in that way, but then it's like anything that kind of like, as they would say, makes you feel shiny. You do it. You wear it. You throw it on. You know, and then you get this hodgepodge of colors and stuff. I'm like, okay, that I can wear the rest of my, not only is it comfort, but then because you can, because I mean, Battlestar Galactica is brown. I mean, it's shades of brown. And then I think their dress uniform, they threw a brown cape on, you know,
right.
Luke, Star Wars, you know, that doesn't change that much. It's kind of muted shades, but you know, but you look at Firefly, I mean, you have colors, you have Hawaiian shirts with combat boots. I'm like, okay, that I can rock for the rest of my life.
Yeah. It's kind of like
you can
the 90s kind of.
You can make a statement and be comfortable at the same. I mean, it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. I can hear that.
Yeah. You know, I don't, man, these are going to be tough to beat. I'm like, God. Well, I was like, I mean, again, I went back and forth between either comfort or coolness. Right. I think I settled on for the one that I think I would want to like, wear because it's very practical, which is the water filtration suit from Frank Herbert's Dune.
What?
It's dude, like, just because you could, just because you could urinate and hydrate yourself for the rest of your life.
You know, I like to hike. I like to backpack. You know, and I walk into the mountains or the desert, and
So basically, you sweat, you piss, and everything turns into water that you drink right back in.
And not only that, but nozzles go straight up your nose and it collects your snot, puts it right back into the system.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. I'd rather die.
I believe I'm not going to vote for that.
but man, but the outfit is still pretty sleek looking, man. It's combat ready uniform. It's a universal standardized design, so no worried about fashion choices in the morning. Just it's one look for everybody. And it's got that cool kind of, you know, black special ops kind of feel to it. It's form fitting.
Catheter. I think that's where you got it. You lose me with the catheter.
I think the nose snot collecting was kind of where you lost me.
You don't mind the tube up your junk.
I'm just worried about my junk, but now I'm worried about drinking my own boogers. So
okay, so now we got,
and that definitely
unbunch your junk and drinking my own boogers.
That's definitely going to bunch your junk if you got a catheter.
This week's
Tiny
Table
3,
everybody. Unbunch your junk and drink your
boogers. Drinking my own boogers. Yeah.
Now, just as a runner-up, I'm finding that I tend to like, which is totally unlike me, is I tend to like the uniform look. Maybe it's because I don't like to pick what I'm wearing in the morning. But we were talking earlier about the amazing design of the original Star Wars, the outfits designed for the Empire. You know, the Stormtrooper is that's an amazing looking design. Again, you know, not a lot of fashion options. But
it's interesting, though, because you're talking about the Empire, and yet that had a very specific thing that it was inspired by, specific inspiration.
Yeah, Third Reich.
Third Reich, the Stormtroopers, the reason, you know, that, you know, you remove all their humanity because they all look the same. It's...
So what are you saying, Kurt?
That wasn't the one I was choosing. Let me keep going. Yeah, I there's something I like about I think it's what's the name of the fashion designer? There's a couple guys I really liked. The Golden Army. What was the name of that? That was Sammy
Sheldon. She did V for Vendetta and like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and
done like everything.
Yeah, I think actually she did the new Jurassic World. And actually Guardians of the Galaxy would have been cool too, for outfit choices. But I'm gonna stick with Golden Army, even though I just thought of Guardians, the first Guardians, not the second one.
But see, think of Guardians. That's not that far off from Firefly. I mean,
it's really not.
If you think of your color palette, you think of what it is. It's not far off from where I'm at.
I was also looking at some of those classic sci-fi films. Some of them are just, I mean, we mentioned Lost in Space last week. That's just downright funny. It's because it looks like they're trying to get out of the era. The original Lost in Space was supposed to be set in 1997, I believe. 1997.
Well, that's when we first sent our first space voyagers.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Because the 1969 landing was faked. So, but apparently, if you look at that costume, it's like turtlenecks. Like everyone's wearing turtlenecks. So apparently, in 1997,
that is the clothes of the future.
Exactly. Yeah. But I really like
and I love that if you wear a turtleneck now, you get punched.
Pretty much. Yeah. I especially like that part of it. You know, you get your junk punched, not unbunched.
You get that bunched up. Your junk gets bunched. Listen here, youngster. You got that turtle. You want me to come over there and bunch up your junk for you?
I'm all right. It will drink your boogers for you. Walter Plunkett. Legendary costume designer. His filmography is just amazing, but he designed for the original Forbidden Planet, and it is sort of comic because they're trying to get out of the 1950s, well actually 1940s, but they're not really quite making it. But the military costumes what's supposed to be the crew of the spaceship. They look like pajamas, you know. Yeah. They're just, you know, they're so, they look super comfy. It's like
the under pajama under the spacesuit.
Yeah, it's just super like, man, that looks like something I wouldn't want to wear that to the mailbox at my house, because it would look like I just walked out of my house wearing my fucking pajamas. I wouldn't wear that.
And in real life, everybody would see your junk in the pajamas walking to the mailbox.
Yeah, true. It's kind of like, you know, like an erection in sweats. You know, you just don't want to do that. There's nothing, you can hang a towel off of it, right? You know, it's...
some things are just rude.
But Plunkett also, like, he did, like, costumes for the original King Kong, 1933. And then, like, did, like... I mean, just a ton of stuff. But there's something about that old costume design that, you know, is just really fun when you see some of the... even Lost in Space. You know, it's pretty... or the original Star Treks. I mean, those uniforms hold up pretty well.
Yeah, those haven't really changed.
But And also making the cut for me was the Star Trek Discovery, the latest, but none of that stuff looks comfortable. It looks cool, but it's like the latest. Like, if you guys seen the design of the Klingon costumes, they look amazing. But there's no way it would take you like 2 days to put that on. It's just like layers and layers of crazy, weird, spiky stuff.
And as the thing to also realize too is you're talking about Klingon costumes. You know, battle armor isn't something you can put on by yourself anyway. It's a two person job, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, and we mentioned like the Dunedain of Lord of the Rings. You know what Strider looks like, Aragorn. He looks great, but that would take like 6 hours to put that on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's great for walking through a forest.
Sure.
For months on end.
Right. But no, I want the pajamas from Forbidden Planet. Or the booger suit from Dune.
See, this is the thing. If you dress like a Dunedain and walk down, you know, Grand Street over here in Santa Ana, people are gonna look at you.
They are.
With the exception of my low slung blaster, I could probably wear combat boots, some pants, and a Hawaiian shirt and walk down Santa Ana. Nobody would look at me twice.
No, not at all. Nope. Yeah, you can wear anything.
I could throw Jane's
Firefly.
I could put his hat on and everything. Be good to go.
Oh, but honestly, you know, Milo could probably dress like the elf from Hellboy 2 and have no problems either. He'd be like, eh.
I'll just go to a rave.
Or just push a shopping cart. You would it'd be perfectly fine. Obviously my choice was Dune. I'm guessing I didn't win this rant. This one.
I'm not interested in having my catheter and snot. Yeah.
Think how
water.
Practical that would be. You never have to take it off.
No.
I never want to put it on.
I think that's a better point.
Like, well, gotta stick this up my junk and put this in my nose. Like, nah, I'm good.
But you'd only have to do that once and then you'd be all good. For years.
No.
I mean, I guess. And I'm good though.
I mean, and this is the thing too, is I guess if you're like the last guy in the desert living on your own, sure. But you live in Southern California and you go home.
I mean, true. And you're dry. Like, I guess if you're...
How pleasant is that?
I guess if you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, stuck in traffic.
How pleasant is a dude who's been drinking his own snot on a hot day when he walks into the house and sits on
Look,
the couch?
I don't care how pleasant I am to anybody. You know, I just want to be comfortable. That's all I'm caring about here. Okay, let's go around the table. Okay, so Milo, you're sticking with... The Golden Army, right? Yeah, Hellboy, Golden Army, solid choice. And your number one, Nick?
Firefly.
Wow, man. See, I don't want to change my vote because I know I'm going to lose. Okay, well, I'm sticking with the booger suit. I'm standing strong. I'm going to vote because I'm not going to win, so I got to vote first. I think I'm going to go, you know, I'm going with Hellboy 2. I'm going to go with Milo's choice. I just like... it's a good combination of comfort and coolness.
No.
You can vote for someone else, Nick. I know that's not easy, but...
The only reason... Okay, so you guys put me in a tough spot here, because I just don't want something stuck in my pee hole. So I'm going to go with Firefly.
I didn't really sell it very well, I have to admit.
And
I work on my pitch.
I like to take showers, so that's going to be a constant like on-off thing. I'm not taking a shower in my own piss. You know? So
it's not a shower. It's not a pea-sized shower suit. It's not like a, well, now I am selling it. It's a golden shower suit.
I'm going to pass.
That's a hard pass.
Oh my god. Okay, well, no, okay, well, this comes, everyone picks someone else so far. So Nick,
so I have to pick someone else.
No, you don't have to. You can say, "You know what? I think mine's better than Milo's." Or you can go like, "You know what? You beat me, Milo. I know you're not picking the pea suit. No one's picking the pea suit today." You know who would pick the pea suit? Donald Trump. Just throwing that out there.
I think he did.
Oh, come on. Go with the pea suit, man. Go against me.
I'm actually looking at the numbers. Popular. If I pick the pea suit, then we've all switched off one.
Yeah. Oh,
and God. Then we maintain a tie.
I only picked Firefly because he had more reasons than I did.
And the thing is, I just...
It's a good choice. I mean, both you guys have some really solid choices, I'd have to admit, you know. I only went with Golden Army because I'm balancing the cool with the comfort, but those are both solid choices.
And yeah, I don't want something at my pee hole.
You don't have to keep saying that, you know.
Yeah, dude, it's a stark reminder of what that suit really is.
The thing is, I don't want anything up my nose either. So I just can't.
I'm telling you, it looks cooler than you think.
Dune. No, you can look cool as shit.
No, really, look it up. No, don't. That's fine.
I mean, the car on South Park that you powered by sticking it up your ass looked cool.
No, it didn't.
Imagine, okay, so if you're wandering the desert and you come across someone who's not in this suit and they're all like, "Please, I'm thirsty." And then if you give them water, they're like, "Where'd you get this water from?" And you gotta have that whole awkward conversation.
Yeah, that's awkward. That's awkward.
And then they're gonna be like, "You know what? I'm good.
Look, I know I lost. We don't have to explain why I lost. I still think it's pretty practical."
I'm still thinking with
Dude,
Firefly.
You could sell this to like those doomsday preppers. They would be like all over this suit, man.
I guess.
I'm making it less viable for a win right there.
Yeah.
I thought I had something for a second. Nope.
I think so. Yeah. So is it a tie between me and Jose then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're gonna go with Hellboy with Jose, then that would be a split. So I would be the only loser in the room. I guess that's the way it would work out.
Yeah. Well, no, because you voted for me, so technically.
You guys want to call a friend?
I don't know.
Oh, we do a phone a friend?
Do you know anybody that might want to chime in on this one?
Not really.
I'll call somebody.
I know my friend's probably working.
I know someone who's not working, though. I'll call my lady.
Oh, well, I want to call mine, too, if that's what we're talking about.
Well, no, believe me, my lady will not side with me because it's me. There's no way that would happen.
She's all like, "I'm good with the pea suit."
Yeah. She may not pick up.
Are we going to edit all those rings out?
Oh, no. It stays in for sure.
Hello.
No. Bummer. Anybody else got someone they can phone a friend?
Let me try somebody.
Let me see.
I'm going to try one person. Hold on. Okay.
Put it on speaker and hold it up. They're going to have any idea what the hell you're talking about, but this would be pretty funny.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
So, I got a weird question for you.
What?
If you had to pick between... Okay, I'm going to explain this the best I can.
First of all, tell them they're on a podcast.
Oh, yeah, you're on a podcast, by the way.
All right.
This is my brother.
I love the fact he just went, What, didn't even flinch.
What happened?
nothing. Don't worry about it. So, okay, so these are the... Have you seen the show Firefly?
Yeah, I've seen part of it.
Okay, so you know what the outfits look like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you've
Think
seen...
Space Cowboy.
You've seen Golden Army Hellboy, and you know what the outfits look like.
Yeah.
Okay, so the only one I got to explain to you is this suit that you put on and it turns your pee and boogers into water.
Just tell him Dune.
And it's from Dune.
It what?
It's from...
Has he seen the movie Dune?
Have you seen Dune?
A long ass time ago.
Okay, those suits.
So there's a suit, there's a black suit that turns your pee and boogers into water, apparently, and people put it on because it's just something that they do in that movie.
Kind of like Waterworld when he pees into a little machine and drinks his
own
pee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so if you had to pick between those three things to wear for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, God, dude. I don't know about pissing and drinking my own piss, even though if the apocalypse happened, I mean, you'd have to find a way to drink, I guess,
I've lost
shit,
again.
Dude. That's some horrible choices.
Well, we know he's not biased, so there's that. Just pick one.
Shit, I guess I hate to say this, but the Firefly one?
Yay! Ding, 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 okay. Ding. We have a winner.
It's horrible.
Well, okay, you just picked the winner, so you're good.
All right, Gavin, second week. And thank you much for playing.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Two, three. Bye. This may be the best show we've ever produced.
That was awesome.
All right, well, there you go. And I like that that even though he wasn't going to vote for it, he was still like, I don't know if I want to drink my own pee.
I have to put better thought into my choices, but...
Or sell it better.
Well, thank you very much again for playing another round of Naked Wrestling, Tiny Table 3's first segment and nerd argument. Our winner this week, once again, is guest player Nick.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, let's move on. Thank God. On to segment number two. The best of the best in the nerd universe during the week. What was the best thing that happened this week in the nerd universe, guys? What do you got?
Nothing much happened. I heard rumors of a Lord of the Rings park at Universal, but that's not confirmed.
Yeah, that was on my list for sure.
I saw Rampage and I thought it was fun, even though it was really dumb. Like, it's not a good movie in the sense.
I think fun is what they're going for. If you go and you have fun, then mission accomplished.
And I think that's all that happened to me. There was a sale on Telltale Games on PS4. I guess that was cool.
Nice.
So I got some cool games, even though I probably shouldn't be spending money on games.
What was on sale?
Just all the Telltale, like Walking Dead's and Wolf Among Us and the Batman stuff.
Oh, yeah, those are really good.
They were all like 70 to 80% off, so they were like $6, some of them. It's pretty sweet. That's about it. I'm supposedly got new internet. It's faster. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
Nice. So for me, what happened, I believe it's the second, but the new Solo trailer dropped on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I still haven't seen that, actually.
You know, I haven't either.
And,
I haven't either.
Yeah, my wife and I watched it. We're excited for it. I know it's hit and miss with a lot of people. I'm completely looking forward to it.
I'm open to the Star Wars movies because I liked Rogue One. So, like, anything that's kind of a spinoff, I'm open to. But I have my concerns because it is kind of like a significant thing.
The problem with, you're changing directors midway.
Yeah, I was really worried about it.
There's some problems. But then again, you bring in a reliable guy like Ron Howard, I'm not that worried anymore. You know, I think Lucasfilm, or not Lucasfilm anymore, but, Disney, Kathleen Kennedy, and they'll rein it in. You got Ron Howard, Kathleen Kennedy. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be interesting to see.
The worry that I had much for, and again, I think that's a good choice for the best of the week because it's getting to the point where I'm calm about it now. Because, if the people that you need to be in place to fix a disaster, we got them.
Yes.
So,
it's
not a done deal disaster. It actually may pull it out and be pretty good. And the trailers so far are kind of making you hopeful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pay to go see it anyways. I mean,
well, I know I'm seeing it at least twice, even if it sucks.
I mean, this is the thing. We watched the trailer and I was like, that's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that.
I have my issues with the Falcon design though, and I wonder how they're going to pull that off.
What's
it's
your
different.
Issue with the
so it doesn't have the little cut in the middle. It's like a point.
Mm.
But it is, I mean, it is. Yeah, I know everyone's like, well, he says that he modified it a lot. And I'm all like, like, you should have just kept it that. Like, some of the things need to be kept the same.
I mean, this
same.
Is the thing, too. Is, I mean, the Falcon has changed. I mean, in the original Falcon, when we saw it, you have the round radar disc. Yeah, it's true. Then that gets sheared off in a Death Star, you know, run. And so now you have a rectangular one, you know?
Yeah, but that's not the same as it.
I think one of the things to think of too is that you got to remember is that at this point, you know, kind of guessing, you know, based on old expanded universe and where I think they're going is that the Falcon at this point is the hunk of junk. You know, they've made it look like a hunk of junk, but it's the fastest thing out there that they've purposely modified to look like crap. It's supposed to look like something that you're not at all worried about. And yet it has the biggest, you know, it's the fastest thing out there. And what you're looking at is a Falcon that's still new, I think. You know, that's how I'm seeing it, is that this is a thing that's fresh off the assembly line, is not a hunk of junk yet.
That's true.
It should look like something completely different.
I mean, if they...
That's the whole idea. I mean,
explain it well enough, I'll accept it, but...
I didn't explain it well enough?
No, I mean, like, in the movie, if they explain it well enough.
Oh, gotcha.
Or it's not just some, like, stupid thing.
Yeah.
I'll be all right, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not ruling it out. I'm just not like
I hear you.
I'm not happy about it 100%, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm way more hopeful and happy with what we're seeing so far than I was. I guess that's the best way to see it.
So what was your week?
I mean, this is a little thing, but I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big Terminator guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in James Cameron's reboot of Terminator is moving forward.
No way.
Yeah, they're in the casting
process. It's going to have Avatar in it.
So they're rebooting the original?
As far as I know. Yeah.
They're going to do Avatar 2 crossover. So the Terminator is going to go to wherever they are. And they're going to be like, James Sully is the leader of the Resistance. And it's an Avatar. And then they're going to do that. And then Game Over, Man.
Yeah,
that's another James Cameron movie.
Game Over, Man.
They're just going to cross all his movies together.
Well, you want me to make you even more excited about it?
Yes.
As far as I know, both Linda Hamilton and Arnold are slated to be in it.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't Arnold just have, like, open heart surgery?
Dude, who cares? He's the fucking Terminator, man.
he's not a person. He's a machine.
He's a machine.
Just put a new one in there.
About the other? What about the T-1000? He should be in it again.
You know, I've
forget his name.
Gosh, I'm drawing a blank on him right now.
He's on a cop show right now.
He's been in the X-Files.
He was in the X-Files. He was Doggett on the X-Files.
Yep.
I want to say Patrick something.
And look it up, man. Google. But I think that I know it has a obviously it's been a very successful franchise, but there are a lot of really solid entries into that franchise, and even ones that I think that people just really didn't connect with were still pretty damn good. There's not a lot of complete fall downs with that franchise.
I liked 1 through 3 actually.
Yep,
for their own reasons.
Yep, absolutely. Like, those are all solid.
Yeah. One is a good
Robert
movie.
Patrick, by the way. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about Robert Patrick.
There you go. Yeah.
One is a good movie just on its own.
No.
As like a good like horror movie kind of.
It's hard to tell. Yeah, in the time period it's hard to tell what that was, but that's when you can it comes on and I'll watch it. I watch it now and I'm pleased.
Yeah.
Two is kind of the James Cameron special where it's just like let's throw all the action in it and make it just like a little bit over the top and it's good. And then number 3 was kind of like it was just kind of one of those like nostalgia films where they just threw a bunch of stuff at you and were like, it's good. The guys are older, you know. Bleh. I didn't ever saw Genesis, which actually I heard was kind of bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible, but it just gets
Salvation was kind of interesting.
I actually enjoyed Salvation. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
With Christian Bale. Because that one was just him fighting machines. So it wasn't really like, it's kind of on its own.
Isn't that... Oh, that's Salvation. I'm sorry, Salvation. And then, but Genesis was the one with Daenerys Targaryen as Sarah Connor.
Right. It was like an alternate timeline.
It's further down. It's further down the timeline.
I'm not sure about that one. I never saw it, to be honest.
It's one of those things, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and it's been a while since I've seen, but I thought that it's the timeline after the timeline had been altered. You know, so you have your original timeline. Yeah, yeah. The Terminator goes back. Now things are changed. So now you have a new timeline based on what happened in the past.
Well, my favorite reference to that movie is actually in Hot Dead Time Machine 2. I don't know if you guys ever saw those movies.
I saw the first one.
Brilliant.
But he's all like, oh my gosh, it's time travel, like Terminator. And he goes, not everything's Terminator. And he goes, yes, it is. And then like, as he explains every time travel like option, it always kind of relates back to Terminator.
Right.
Because of the way they explained everything. So it's kind of interesting. Is that the sound of the fridge? Is that the new segment, like the new Pee Wee Herman thing? Where? Sure.
You guys don't need me to keep going. Come on.
I'm taking a drink. But I think with James Cameron, what's interesting about his movies now, though, is he relies a lot on special effects.
Right.
So that would probably be my only concern, even though he does a good job with special effects.
I think the thing with James Cameron is it's going to be fun, you know, and for me, when we're talking about movies, that's all I care about. You know, you spend 12, 15 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever. And if by the end of it, you come out, you know, whether it was going to win an award or not, I don't care. If I felt that I enjoyed the past 2 hours of my life and you know, had fun in some way, I'm good to go. And James Cameron generally pretty solidly gives you that.
That's true. You know? He's also very good at making $1 billion on a film.
Well, there's that, too. That's why they keep giving him more.
Studios keep giving him money because they're just like, how much is it going to make? $1 billion or two?
Yeah, I mean, not everything he does is the golden, but I'm super happy to see him back at the helm for good Terminator film, because it's been a while since we had one that's really, really rocked. So, man. So, do I win this one at least? Did I win this fucking round of...
Do you think that beats Solo?
I think Solo is not... proven.
Okay.
Whereas Terminator has a proven record of being good.
So the Terminator series has a proven record?
Yeah.
So the Star Wars series
standalones only have Rogue One right now.
Okay.
So it's not enough to say that they're all going to be good. Because remember, it's a Star Wars story. It's not necessarily Star Wars.
Right.
So we have to, and plus Last Jedi, we all know how I feel about that sometimes.
Yeah, well, yeah,
we've heard enough about that.
And you're still wrong.
Okay.
Plus, one of my favorite characters in Star Wars is Chewbacca, and I feel like they kind of fucked him in the last movie, so I don't want him to be fucked anymore, you know? Like, Chewbacca's cool.
I agree.
He should be the brute strength guy, and they don't let him ever do that.
And actually, it's funny. I remember reading something about, not Last Jedi, in Force Awakens, Chewbacca is like the ultimate bro. You know, because look at him with Han Solo. You know, he's the ultimate bro. He's always there. Han Solo, you know, they're getting ready to go back in the snow, and there's just the scene where he picks up a coat and hands it to him. But then, you know, Solo goes down, and then, you know, Chewbacca goes on this bowcaster rampage.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, he's so much cooler, and then they even show you, like, you don't realize how, like, what he's actually capable of, because then Han Solo grabs his bowcaster and shoots it and knocks him over.
Right.
And it's like Chewbacca just fires that like it's nothing.
I will say, I mean, well, you guys haven't seen the trailer yet, but in the new trailer, there's a little hint about something related to Chewbacca in there. I don't know if...
I've seen him in the trailer.
Well, no, they actually give you information about him. Okay. There's like a little tidbit of information.
My bet is on life debt. I don't know.
Age.
Ah.
You learn age.
Ah, all right. Well, there you go. I mean, to me, Chewbacca is like, he didn't get the medal.
How do you not give him a medal? I agree.
And he's the fucking explosives guy. No one ever gives him credit for that.
Right.
He's the repair guy.
Right.
He's the co-pilot.
Right.
And he's the fucking guy. Always, like, when you call him, he's always there. He never fucks anything up. Of all the characters in Star Wars, he's actually the one that never fucked anything up.
So
yeah, and he literally, like, saves everybody.
Sure.
Yeah.
He just, the guy shows up, and when things are at their worst,
he saves C-3PO.
He does.
Did you guys ever read any of the old Expanded Universe?
I mean, I read some, but not, like, a ton.
Okay. So when it was, but we're on the subject of Chewbacca's, is there's in the old EU, at this point, you know, not this point, yeah, actually around this point in time, like a couple decades after Yavin, you have what's called the Yuuzhan Vong invasion, which is this alien species from a completely different galaxy coming in. And one of the biggest moments in there was Chewbacca's death. And I mean, he had an amazing death, but that not being there, I'm actually happy with.
So. Yeah. Well, let's see how it does. I mean, I would love to see, like you guys, more Chewbacca, but that's going to, Solo's going to be rough because it's such a tough character to successfully pull off because everyone has such high expectations for what the interpretation is going to be.
I mean, he's also a support character. He's not like a main character. You know, even
I don't
though,
know. Sure. The actor, I don't know what he's going to be able to do to win everybody over. So, I mean, I'm hopeful, but man, it's going to be tough.
He's got to do the classic Harrisons where he's got to be like, my wife. Or get off my Falcon.
That's perfect. Okay, let's move on to our final segment.
Wait, who won that one?
I'll give it to Kurt.
I'll go with you on
just
this.
Just because Solo's not tested.
Yeah.
I got naked wrestling 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, I won one. Yay, for the Terminator. As if it was really hard to win with James Cameron making a new movie.
I'm excited about that, I gotta admit.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one's going to be a bit of an oddball. We've said this multiple times, but we're not doing advice for you guys when it's just the dudes. Cloud City's out in New York this week, and she won't be able to join us, and she is great for advice. And we're going to bring the planned advice back because it's a good topic, so we'll revisit. But our rotating, alternating segment for this week is going to be a nerd mixtape, which we've done multiple times before. So we're going to approach the music world from the nerd perspective. And this is a weird band, and they've got a lot going on this week. So let's talk a little bit about Ghost. Formerly known as Ghost BC, and Nick was actually, you know, I'm kind of a Ghost fan. I didn't realize that they finally dropped the BC, or even why they had it.
Right.
But you were saying, what were you explaining?
So they were originally, originally from Sweden. They formed as Ghost. A lot of the original members were from another band. And when they exported/imported into the States, there was a licensing issue with the name Ghost. So
yeah,
that's
see,
why
yeah.
they had to pick up Ghost BC. Same band, but they had to pick up something different. But I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, they were also, they knew it was going to be a temporary thing. So it was a certain amount of time. They were able to refile paperwork, and now they are Ghost again. As of, I believe, 2015, they're back to just Ghost without the BC.
So what did the BC stand for?
Well, probably
ostensibly before Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ghost, just to give you, just for those who are like, what are you guys talking about? Ghost is a weird band. This band was formed in 2006. And it's a Swedish, they're normally classified as a metal band, which I guess if you listen to their first album, you can make that argument that they were more on the metal side of things. But they're super sort of melodic pop, so you can kind of say maybe melodic, progressive metal. They're really hard to explain. But the nerd connection I wanted to make with the band is that, and the leader of this band, which we technically don't know who's in the band. And I highly recommend anybody listening to this, go ahead and just Google Ghost Band and take a look at these guys, is that they were kind of influenced by bands like Kiss, you know, that whole masked, you know, identity, you know, you don't know who's in the band. But they play off the themes from like old science fiction horror, like the satanic cult motif. And boy, do they bring it. It's not like kind of, sort of, they live it. And you don't, the whole band wears masks. The singer wears prosthetic, you know, face makeup. And you're not supposed to know who any of these people are. And he assumes an identity, Papa Emeritus. And we get a new version of this character. Like the one basically goes away and a new one arrives with each album. And very theatrical, you know. With a bit of a sense of humor, So we don't typically find you don't typically find a poppy metal Satan band either, you know.
that's weird. Yeah, I got a crash course on this band in the last 24 hours, and I have to say, there's other things out there that, okay, yeah, I see what, you know, that you can kind of put this, but when you hear them, I mean, first it's one thing you see it, then you hear, and you hear like this poppy metal Gregorian chant band.
Yep.
There's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it.
I've only heard what you've shown me, Kurt, so I'm not really big on the band itself. I haven't listened to a lot of it. I do remember always hearing things about, like, the identity of who they are and how they change.
Right.
That was always the articles I saw. And they're always, like, really weird when they're on stage. And then, like, I heard that they do weird shit at their shows where they kind of just show up or just leave.
Well, they do some weird stuff. I mean,
well, and I know that, like, one of the kind of the recurring things is because you don't technically know who anybody is at any particular point. Some of the identities have come out related to a lawsuit, but like stuff like they were working with Dave Navarro for a while, and I guess Dave Navarro was working on some stuff with them, and you know, like, allegedly Dave Navarro performed with them as one of the Unknown Ghouls.
I can see that. Yeah, that's the other thing, the Unknown Ghouls, the band's not named.
Yeah.
So you don't know the name of the members who are playing behind Papa Emeritus. The creator slash producer slash songwriter slash singer is, we know it's Tobias Forge because of a lawsuit.
Correct.
That came around because of the original players were suing him for, you know, breach of contract, essentially.
Unknown Ghouls versus Tobias?
Well, so it's funny. Yeah, they refer to themselves as Unknown Ghouls. But each one, actually, at any point, it's there's up to six. So you have Papa Emeritus, whatever version that he is, and then you have each one. They used to have Alpha and Omega. Now they're all just elements. So it's all so it's Earth, Water, Air, Fire, and Ether. And so what they'll have is they'll have some kind of various things signifying them by that. One of the cool things that's kind of interesting is like when they sign stuff. The Unknown Ghouls, they just stamp. They stamp their symbol, whatever symbol they are, instead of signing.
And if you've seen, they have a new album coming out June 1st, mm-hmm. and they're going on tour. And they released a video.
Yes, Rats.
Yeah, Rats. And if you'll notice that if you see the latest photo, there's a female member of the band now. So the costume's different a little bit. And the nerd connection I wanted to make is because I was a fan. What this says about me as a human being, but as a kid, I was a fan of like there's a whole subgenre of B movies. Mm-hmm. There's like the witch Grindhouse. Cult satanic B movies, and during the 1960s and 70s, this was like a big thing.
It was huge.
So, but I mean, even like big films like The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby. Big time, the Roman Polanski film, The Omen, you know. So just literally hundreds of low budget films were made at the time. So if you look at Ghost videos, they have that same feel. That's the way they're shot, and it has like this kind of like there's a lot of sort of tongue in cheek kind of comedy at it. But if you listen to their albums, it's like every song is about Satan.
Yeah.
Every single song is about Satan. How much we love him, how much he backs us up, how great he is, and you know, and how much a part of a life, and how we should. It's everything is about Satan when you listen to their songs. And it might sound like a lovely like love song, and you're like, now wait a minute, this is about Satan again.
That's diabolical.
And I've heard interviews, and he masks his voice when he does interviews, so it's pretty interesting stuff. And I've heard the question like, well, are they serious? Are they like Satanists? Who knows? Who knows? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've saw a couple of interviews, and one of the things they kind of always skirt the question.
Yeah.
And what they do say is that they're a performance band. They're performance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when Zombie sings about a living dead girl, is he actually thinking about necrophilia? No. I mean, there's nobody.
Or is he?
Or is he?
Or is he?
I think it's all a show. I mean, I think it's a character, and you dedicate yourself to the character. It's kind of like Ziggy Stardust. Or...
And it was interesting because one of the interviews that I saw, which was kind of like, which was making me intriguing me about this. Like I said, I've had a crash course in the past day. Was what they talked about is they very specifically use imagery of a mass, you know, of religious imagery, where you know you have rituals, you have songs, you have movements, you have certain things, ritualized things that come together. And in any religious setting, your point is to kind of have an experience with the deity in some way. Whereas they're using that same thing, twisting it a little bit so that you can have, what did they say? A joyous, or to achieve bliss, like a joyous bliss.
Yeah, okay.
So basically it's like, yeah, we're using the same imagery, but we're just trying to do, you know, we're just to be happy.
The crazy thing about it is how high in the charts these guys got.
Yeah.
You know, they're Meliora, which was their last major album before. I mean, they had a live album release, which is great. It was number one in Sweden, and it hit the U.S. charts, I believe, at number eight. You know, a full-blown Satan band, number eight, you know, top 10 on American Billboard charts. That's just like bizarre.
It is bizarre.
But people really don't understand the basic belief system around Satanism, which typically there is, surprisingly, there's a lot of sense of humor behind it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of sort of, it's about more about like personal freedom and a lot of personal responsibility. And it's, you would be shocked at how much like it's about empathy and care for other people. It's, you'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Well, also, if you look at, like I said, the official Church of Satan.
From what I've seen,
I don't believe in anything, but yeah, but, right. But that's their deal anyways.
I've also heard the Church of Satan doesn't see Satan as an actual,
no,
it's a philosophy more than anything else.
There's kind of a deeper philosophy. I mean, modern Satanism, like when you're talking about the Church of Satan specifically, there's baggage when you have Satan, but
yeah,
it's really more of a humanist philosophy.
But the
as I understand it,
yeah. And if you like, and I did, I mean, growing up, that stuff scared the crap out of me as a kid, and I found that stuff, that the whole like the devil as a character or underlying motif. There's so many just fun films, and like I've probably seen The Omen a million times.
Yeah.
Omen 2. When I was growing up, I was super into scary movies, and Ghost plays off of that whole thing, in a really kind of a fun way. I'll be seeing him in about a little bit over or a little bit under a month actually, and their live show. If you haven't seen it yet, hop on YouTube. It's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah. It's an awesome genre, you know, where you have, you know, this whole subgenre. Because it was funny, I was watching Ghost, and the thing that it reminded me of was a little bit of the Da Vinci Code. Because especially in the book, you know, what the main character, what Sophie sees when she's a child is, you know, pagan rituals that are somewhat, you know, kind of give you the sense of something like this, of like a satanic ritual, which is why she didn't talk to her grandfather, yada yada. But it's just, you know, you see these unique things. Not to say that Satanists and paganists are the same, but you know, it's there's little tweaks here and there that kind of are remind you of different things.
So that's our take on Ghost. I mean, go check them out. The latest incarnation of it was Papa Emeritus. We went through 1, 2, and 3, and we're now, currently he's a cardinal, so we've upgraded.
Yes.
So it's Cardinal Copia.
Cardinal Copia.
And there is a lot of Latin in their music too, just to let you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Nick was saying, a lot of Gregorian chant.
Yeah, like I said, if you could,
that's the new thing with the kids. Yeah. Those Gregorian chants.
it's the new in thing. If you get past the imagery, just kind of look at, you know, just hear what they're doing. It's interesting. You can if it doesn't scare you, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, it's not.
It's not Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off a bat or anything.
it's more
artsy than that.
Yeah, I almost kind of like think of them as like a if you took like Slayer and Muse,
okay,
and then maybe like I don't know Taylor Swift and mixed them up. That's kind of what you would get. Oh yeah, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yes,
then you'll get Ghost.
Interesting.
Yeah, really. They're great. It's nice to see someone doing something really original and theatrical. And again, it really connects with my nerd side. It's just so weird and creative, and everyone's wearing costumes.
It's very emulative of what you might see, like if you were, you know, if Call of Cthulhu was real.
There you go.
And you showed up at a concert in the world of Call of Cthulhu, it might look something like this.
That's essentially it.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you very much again for joining us for another episode of Tiny Table 3. I really appreciate Nick coming in again.
Yep.
And I'm not really that appreciative of Milo showing up, but
I mean, I come in pretty much by force now.
You do, yeah. I don't even invite you to show up. It's the way I used to work with Nick, but
I thought that was my job.
as we head out, you guys got anything going on this week? Anything coming up interesting? We're still kind of in like a slow zone for movies, right? We're just kind of waiting for Infinity Wars to drop, and Solo, and the only thing that really showed up was Rampage, and I will see that, but yeah.
I saw it. It was fun. I mean, again, it wasn't really like a huge, like, big thing that everybody was talking about. Yeah. I mean, people were talking about it, but it's not that kind of... No, I don't really have anything going on. I think Ren Faire is coming up in like 2 weeks or something, so
we do have the annual... Ren Faire goes around the country all the time, but it's the Southern California time of year for them to roll through, so
that's the closest.
You know,
thing.
It's like we're nerds. We got to go to the freaking Ren Faire. It's required. You know, we got to get we got to wear some silly clothes and get drunk. We're doing that now, but
right. Actually, this weekend there's actually a pretty not necessarily nerd stuff, but it's interesting that Orange County Fair is a free event. It's called the Imaginology.
Oh, I'm writing this down. What was that?
It's kind of like a. It's called STEAM instead of STEM. It's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. It's kind of like a interactive thing, getting kids involved in these things where, you know, have experiments and really cool stuff to come out and kind of promote these fields.
The hell?
It came through on my headphones.
Didn't it? Yeah, it did. You fucking hurt my ears.
Sorry.
So well, that's where we're going there this weekend.
Very
cool. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks again for joining us for Tiny Table 3. Don't forget to check us out at tinytable3.com. We'll have this podcast posted there probably pretty soon. Hopefully, we'll do a quick reaction video before we leave tonight. I'm going to try to talk these guys and hanging out. I figure if I feed them a couple more beers, they'll stick it out for a few more minutes. And, of course, if you're listening to us on SoundCloud, please subscribe, or hear this, please subscribe and download, or iTunes, same deal. We're actually, this week we'll be available on Patreon also, so if you like us, you can donate to help the cause to keep us going. And, of course, we're on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button on that one too. We'd really appreciate it. Go ahead and follow me at SmallStack on Twitter. You can also find me... you can find my articles on tinytable3.com, and Milo's the same deal. Milo, you have a different Twitter account though, right?
Yeah, mine's at Milito's Guitar. I honestly don't tweet that much. I'm sorry, guys.
I don't blame you.
I work for a lot of companies that work on the internet, and then I tend to stay off of it, unfortunately. Instagram is at nighttrain465. That's public if anybody wants to. That's probably what I post on the most.
Yeah, and you can definitely check out our photos, mostly gaming photos on our Instagram. And that being said, we'll also be with the Ravensdale Publishing Games tomorrow afternoon, so we'll have some videos up on YouTube for that too. And thanks again, Nick. Really appreciate you coming out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And you guys have a great week, you bunch of nerds.
Later.
Bye.
Never read a book from front to back, page. I never read a book from front to back, page. 4th page.